All right. On the podcast today, we have Coach Alex Daugherty. He is the head football coach at Riverside High School. And I know you will really enjoy his wisdom that he shares on this podcast. All right. On the Mind of a Football Coach podcast tonight, we have Coach Alex Daugherty of Riverside High School. Coach, welcome to the podcast.
Really appreciate you having me. And I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, man. We know each other very well, but I'll just introduce yourself to the listener out there, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'm the head football coach at Riverside High School. It was the high school that I actually attended and went to. Then I went to Marshall, and actually kind of backtrack a little bit. When I was at Riverside, I knew that I wanted to be a teacher and a coach, and I can kind of get into that story as well. It's kind of a long story how that ended up and how it played out, but really feel still called to be there in the area that I grew up in. Just to, you know, when you grow up, you see, like, especially in the time I grew up, where things were booming. You know, first off, the coal industry was booming. You know, there were tons of jobs in our area, and then, like, you kind of, you know, you saw it in the aftermath of, like, just the depletion, like how little jobs there are. You know, the coal mine's not doing great. And I was in that middle of that transition to where I was a young kid, wouldn't miss a Friday night game, stands packed. I, honest to God, thought the players were NFL players, you know, just looked up to those guys. And it was a big deal. You know, Friday night football in the Upper Kanawha Valley was a big deal. And, like, you know, when I get to high school, you know, obviously things are kind of starting to shift in that spiral that, you know, just – the program stopped having the success it did early on. And I wanted to make that difference. And, you know, I started playing football, like, in second grade. I was playing T-ball, and our coach, I was, like, playing third base. And he was like, dude, you got to come out and, you know, we really need a quarterback. You got to come out and play. I was like, okay. You know, I loved playing sports, and I got out, you know, day one, fell in love with the game, and just and played up until my 10th grade year of high school. And I mean, like most, you know, a lot of kids, you know, go through some stuff making that transition. And, you know, I felt like I wasn't, first off, I was a late bloomer. Like, I swear, like, mentally, physically, I bloomed really late, unfortunately. Because I regret every day not, you know, playing all 4 years. But the day I stepped away from the program, you know, my 10th grade year, I knew I wanted to come back and make a difference. Because, you know, the biggest issue was I didn't feel like, you know, I had anybody to go to. Didn't feel like, you know, I was there was a lot of stuff going on at the time. So I wanted to be that person that, you know, kids can come to, and, you know, just that support system. Because that's huge. I mean, you know how big it is for, you know, being a, like, if a kid doesn't have that support system. I have great parents, first off, but it's just different being able to go to a coach and, you know, talk to a coach about whatever it might be. And I just felt like I didn't have that. And I knew I wanted to give that to some kids. So, you know, cue now, I went to Marshall to study education and knew I wanted to go back. We ended up reaching out to Coach Johnson because I knew he was there. And then, you know, Coach Johnson talked to you, and you brought me on staff. You know, I'm still very blessed for that opportunity. And I think about that a lot, you know, just those early times of getting into it, not knowing a thing, because it's so different, you know, coaching and even just being around the game. It's so different, and it was a blessing. And I still thank you every day for giving me that opportunity, because I definitely wouldn't be here if you didn't give me that opportunity. Kind of like a little summary. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Man, that was fun.
Yeah, and I could literally talk for probably hours. Like, I know it's kind of late, you know, but I could talk forever about kind of my transition back. Because, like, it's weird, and I'm just kind of telling you what's on my mind. I think it's the best type of podcast, first off. It's
sure, absolutely.
Great conversation, but you know, everything just fell into place. I can't explain it except for the fact that, you know, this is where I'm meant to be. You know, this is a position that, you know, not very many 23-year-olds at the time, you know, get an opportunity to do, which you know, I was not ready, and I knew I wasn't ready to take that job. You know how hard it is, you know, as a head coach and what goes into it. But I also told myself, you know, from that current staff, you know, I felt like I'd, what better time, you know, what better time, if that's what I knew I wanted to do, you know, for the to try to make a difference. Then I just said, let's do it. And I tried it and was blessed for the opportunity.
And you're doing a great job. I remember when I first met you, I thought, man, this guy's a worker. And that really, like, I think as a head coach, that's the thing you're looking for, is I'm looking for a guy who's just going to come in and go to work and go with the kids, you know. But I think, like, there's a lot of people that are good with the kids. Ronald McDonald's good with the kids. But, like, are there guys that will learn football and learn what this takes? And you're that guy. I mean, I really believe that.
Appreciate it. And like, it's funny, like you mentioned that, because, you know, throughout the day, I don't do very many of these, like any type of conversations. I really like doing them, but I was thinking about, like, man, like what would be fun to talk about, you know? And that was one thing that, like, I knew I wanted to kind of mention to you about and see, like, your thoughts. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves, like, in this profession is there are so many great resources out there and coaches that just refuse to grow and learn. Even if, like, you know, it's different than, you know, being set in your ways or whatever, fine. Mm-hmm. Learn something. Like, I my rule of thumb is I try to find one thing a day to read or watch, like one thing a day just to grow, to help me grow, whether it's culture building, schematically, whatever it might be. And I think, like, that's the biggest, like, you're as a coach, especially, like, getting into it, you're doing yourself a huge disservice not utilizing great coaches around you. Because, like, I can't tell you how many, I don't think a high school coach has ever told me no for any type of help or any type of really anything. And I think, you know, that's one of the biggest mistakes, you know, just coaches in general make, is just setting their ways, you know, just, this is how I was taught, so here we go. Like, I'm glad you said that, because I think that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I think about guys that the only answer they ever have is no, and they say no, and then, well, I did it this way when I played. And you're like, come on, man. You
makes
know,
me cringe.
Just guys
so
who are unwilling to learn. And I've experienced that a couple of times as the head coach. But, you know, like you were saying, it's just that growth mindset, growth mentality, trying to get better. You know, as a person, like, we all make mistakes, right? You know, maybe we, you know, do something we shouldn't do, or like a decision we wish we had back or something of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, some people want to grow, some people just want to live in, like, the past. And that's just not the way to do it, I don't think.
Yeah, like, I had a day, like, this week that it was just not, you know, you have these off days, like, I don't even know what was going on. Something in the classroom. Like, I'm in the behavior disorder classroom. Like, not every day is going to be, like, sunshines and rainbows in there.
Yeah, geez.
And it was just like, you know, something was just off. And I didn't get to, like, do – I felt so unproductive just because I didn't really get to anything I wanted to do. Like, one day threw me way off. And I messaged Lacey, which is my wife, and, you know, just told her, like, I'm having a weird day. And it was literally because I didn't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I didn't do my reading, or I didn't do, like, watch something to help me grow. And that was, it just makes you feel off. And I don't see how people, like, just go through years with doing that. But I mean, and that's one thing, like, I really look for. Like, I give, like, and I was going to talk to you about this too. I give a lot of young coaches a chance. Because, you know, I think about, like, what if you said, no, that dude's too young, hasn't been in the profession before, you know, who would have given me a shot, you know, and who would have taken a shot on me? You never know what you're going to find in a coach. You know, you could really, truly find the next big and best thing, you know, just from giving somebody a chance and, you know, just giving those kids a chance. And, you know, one thing that, like, I remember very vividly, like, you know, I learned from you just by watching you do. Like, you was always on the go. Like, it seemed like when we were in the office, it was never just, like, idle time. Like, it's like, you're in the office, you're there to get something done. And, you know, that's one thing that, like, I just always took from you, is, like, there was never any like fluff. It was all intentional. And you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's always doing, even if like you're sitting there, you had your manila folder that you always wrote on the front of. I don't know if you still
yeah,
do that.
But, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have all kinds of them and like just thoughts. I mean, it's like, and that's another thing. Like I've been trying to work one is like, I'll have thoughts and I won't put it down somewhere. You know, there's so many things that go into a program, and which again, I could talk for a while on just things that I've learned that one. I mean, you can't, there's nothing you can be prepared. Like there's nothing you can do to prepare yourself to be a head coach except to just do it and live it.
Yes. Yes.
And year one to three is miserable. Like, you know, just learning. Yeah. It's like a learning curve, and each year it gets a little better. But you know, there's some days I like text you, like, you didn't tell me about this whenever I applied to be a head coach. Like,
yeah. You know, having just like been fired for the first time in my career, like you think like back through all these years of like, okay, I could have done this better, could have done that better. This is what we did well. And then like you go back through your notes, right? You go back through like, this is what I like, this is what I didn't like. But then, you know, there's things going forward. Yeah, I'll definitely change some things. But
I mean,
yeah.
And I always take like, I mean, I'm very, like as head coaches, like for one, and this is kind of like segue into another thing I was wanting to mention to you. Like, I think we're so difficult, like so hard on ourselves anyways. Like, I mean, you know, you hear all this like criticism, whatever it might be. There's nobody harder than us. Like, man, I wish I would have done this. There's going to be decisions that like that though. Like, and it, obviously that's part of the growth mindset. Like, man, well, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, cause there's so many decisions that are just, I mean, it could be like day-to-day decisions. You never know what it's going to be. And I think that's the toughest part is you got to stick with your decision and just live with it. And just like at the time you knew that was what was right. Like you, you know, in your head, like if you did everything in your mind that said, okay, this is what I truly believe is the right thing to do. And you did it and you lived, there's nothing else you can do. And obviously it's hard to like reflect like that, but it's, I think that's how you have to, cause like I was talking to the kids, we've been doing these character ads every week. And like we talked this week about just like attitude in general. And like, you're going to have bad days. Like, you can't let it reflect your next day. Like that day's over, can't get it back, move on. So that's like, I think that's big as a coach. And like, I was so surprised when I heard that news too, like made so many steps forward from what, like I was told like about the program just at the time and just you stepping in and you doing good things. And it really surprised me. But it's also like literally with the rules, how they are now, you know, it could be anybody. And I think people don't value the work that goes into what we do. Like it's not valued, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's people don't know what all goes on behind the scenes as far as program and game plan. And, you know, as a head coach who's done, you know, offense or defense most of his career, you know, that's a very involved process, as you know. Like if you're a head coach, but you're also involved in X's and O's, like that, like you are heavily invested in that. And then as a head coach, you're a decision maker. Like people can always throw stones. We should have done this, should have done that. And my response is always, well, where was that opinion like during the week? You saying that on Friday night is meaningless. Like appreciate it, but you didn't put any work in during the week. But now you want to have an opinion on Friday, you know? So that's something going forward too. Like, I think I'm going to be much more forceful about that. Like you don't get to say anything during the game unless you've put in the work during the week. Cause we had some issues with that. So
it's funny. It's like, it's a universal thing. Cause like, I was just talking about that this week. Like, you know, it's just, well, I think this would be great. Yeah. Did we rep it at all? No? Okay. Yeah, so let's just go back to, you know, let's look at what we got. Let's look at what we repped. Like, we're not going to draw, you know, plays in the dirt here. You know? Like, I mean, and just in general, like, and I've been thinking about this a ton, like the selflessness, like in general. And I mean, we love to do it. I mean, it's not like I'm sitting here like complaining about it, but I mean, it is like mind of a football coach. So like, this is just kind of like,
whatever's in your brain.
I'm sure most of your listeners are like, you know, coaches as well. And they can probably relate to this is like, there's a lot of selfless jobs like out there, but it's, there's very few jobs that like when things go bad, like you step up and you say, hey, like this is on me. Like, obviously this things are going terrible. And when things are good, it's, hey, you know, these kids are doing great. It's like, and it, you have to have that mindset. Like when things go bad, hey, me, when things go good, hey, great job, you know? And I think that's like, it, as a head football coach, you have to have that. You can't just like, I mean, nothing's about us. Like, it's not about us. Nothing we do is really about us, you know? And I think that's the beauty in it. Like being able to, I think that's why it's like such a good fraternity of like people too. Like it's just a bunch of selfless people who grind and know exactly what each other go through for the most part, you know? And I mean, I think it's just a respect that you build just from understanding the workload, you know?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's, I somebody told me this years ago, you know, you're standing on the sideline and playing somebody else. And people think that the other guy, the, you know, as a head coach, you think the other guy, when you're a young head coach, like your first year, like that guy's the enemy. But then you come to realize he's actually the guy who understands what you're going through better than anybody else. Like, you guys are really like each other's best friend. Cause like you can, when the spotlight's not on you, you can text or talk, and you guys will understand each other far more than anybody else. Cause you know, only one guy's name goes in the paper, and that would be the head coach. Right. I mean, that's just kind of that works.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, even as an assistant, you don't look at it that way. Like, you literally like, oh, that's, that dude's our, you know, our enemy, like whatever. But you're right. Like, you learn, it's just like a, I think it just goes back to that mutual respect. Like, like, damn, he probably had just as tough a week as I did, you know, like he probably had, you know, three parent meetings as well this week. You know, and it's like, and it's just stuff like that. And, you know, just to kind of piggyback off that. And if I ever like get too winded, just let me know. Like, I'm very passionate about this stuff, but
this is podcast. It's long form. You do it.
Okay. All right. So there's my go ahead. There's my green light. But, like the whole thing with like, just in general, like just this complete disrespect, like just for what we do is just unreal to me. And that's not what I was going to say, but I lost my train of thought. So I'll probably think of it here in a minute.
It's so true. I mean, like, and anybody that's in the does a job that's like in the public gets this, but I mean, the guy who's working at the cubicle, you know, at his desk, when he makes a mistake, nobody really knows about it, but you know, or something doesn't go like you've planned it out, like really planned it, and then something didn't happen. You know, nobody knows about that. Nobody comes into your office and is beating down the door. I need a meeting with you about this missed keystroke. But you know, football coaches or basketball or whoever, you know, any kind of coach, like your team didn't do this. Even if you like win and then something doesn't go like the way that they want for their kid, you know, it can become a
unreal,
you know, whatever. Yeah.
So like, and that kind of gets me like into the next thing is like, it blows my mind when people think that anybody can coach, like anybody can just step out on a practice field and teach a concept, you know, develop a practice plan, execute it, staying on time, you know, while managing 75 teenage boys. Like, you know, it's just like people don't like, and that goes back to like, we can say all we want. Well, people just don't know what we do. Like, and I wish people would like just live a week, follow me around, like show, like, hey, like this is me putting my 10th load of laundry in at 11:30 at night. You know? And I just think like, it's just such a servant leadership job. And that's what I truly love about it. Like, it's, you know, obviously some days are tough, but when that kid messaged you and say, coach, I appreciate what you've done for me. I mean, that's payday, you know, cause we really don't get paid. I mean, I know like I don't pocket anything by the end of the year. So,
right. I mean, I think about this too. Oh, go ahead.
No, and I was just saying, like, that's your pay. It's like just mm-hmm. making that some type of a difference, some type of a connection. Like, if you can mm-hmm. save one kid, you know, that's priceless. So.
Yeah, I mean, I can think back through the years, and even like most recently when I got canned, you know, I got like 20 text messages from like players like, "Coach, man, I love you." And it's like, man, yeah. like that is it. Like the mm-hmm. rest of the stuff can do whatever, but that's what we're doing it for, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like one of the biggest things that like I tell our kids, because our kids are tired of like the community and whoever else like out there saying like how shitty they are. Like they're tired of hearing that too, you know? Mm-hmm. So like I encourage them, like they're not within these walls. Like they don't yep. see what you do. They don't see the work you put in. The only person that you guys should matter, like what is said about you, is the people beside you. Like,
yeah.
And I yeah. tell them, like, they always bring to me, "Hey, did you see what this person said about you? Like, did you see where there was a petition to fire you on Twitter and Facebook?"
Whiz.
I was like, fellas, like, come on now. What, you know, it's, you're going to have right. that. So just trying to, and like, that's another thing is just year one to year three, just like not letting that stuff get to me. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just astronomical. Mm-hmm. Like, and I learned, you know, it's just unfortunate part of the job, I guess, which mm-hmm. really shouldn't be. You know, I would highly encourage, like, if whoever's listening to this, if you're one of those people who do nothing but criticize a coach instead of trying to be part of the solution, then, like, that's mm-hmm. a huge problem in a program.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
I've told people throughout the years, if you don't have a solution to the problem you're presenting, then basically don't talk to me. And that doesn't always like yeah. people don't always respond yeah. well to that. But I'm just telling you, like, don't come to me with a problem and not have like a solution. Like, even to something like, yeah. you know, jerseys or something like that. Like, hey, the jerseys yeah. need like, hey, I need like a solution. Like, obviously you've identified the issue. Let's yeah. give me like something that fixes the issue. You know what I mean? Like, don't just dump yeah. it on me. Like, as head coaches, we have enough. Like, there's a lot. Well, I'm an ex-head coach, but you're active head coach. I'm just one of those guys in the stands.
You're not going to be out of it. You're not going to be out of it long.
Oh, man. Well, I'll be one of those guys in the stands heckling the hecklers. You know what I mean?
There you go. Yeah. You're more than welcome.
Oh, geez.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, it's a great business, but at the same time, like you said, it's a selfless thing. Like, if you're in this – for yourself, then you're not really in it for the
get out
reason.
Yeah, get out, because you're gonna that's when you start sinking, you know. Mm-hmm. And like one thing, like for especially young coaches, like you gotta take small victories. Like mm-hmm. it might not be in a win or, you know, in the win column, mm-hmm. but like focus on the small victories, because I got to the point where, you know, it literally consumes you. Like when you're thinking mm-hmm. like, well, we're not growing, we're not getting better, you know, cause it's not showing up when the win, mm-hmm. you know, the wins and loss come. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's the biggest thing is take a small victory. Oh, like your team GPA rose by, you know, mm-hmm. from a 2.0 to a 2.7. Great job. You know, those mm-hmm. are things that people don't see, you know, hey, I got a kid to go home to his, you know, whatever, parent and apologize for being a turd. Great, you know, it's a win. Mm-hmm. It's just stuff like that, and I think like that's what I've really learned over the, like, when I start getting discouraged, mm-hmm. I got to take a step back and reflect on that.
Mm-hmm. I think too, like I remember, like in 2015, we were so young, and we played better as the year went on. Didn't win, but then we kind of knew, like going to the 16. That we were going to be okay. You know, we ended up breaking the losing streak and starting like 4-2. And people are like, well, how'd you know? I'm like, well, you just keep getting better. Like you yeah. see those guys developing and growing and you're practicing better and the win will come. I remember a student at the Riverside newspaper asked me this question. And I don't think I ever told you they interviewed me. Like, yeah, we used to have a newspaper. I don't think I told yeah. Nate or Harrison either, but he was like, well, how do you win? I was like, well, you need to prepare better than the other team. And you need to have better players.
Like, yeah.
Let's be honest. Like, you need to prepare yeah. better players and get a break You know what I mean? Like, and he was like, that's it. I'm like, yeah, that's it. Like, there ain't much else to that. You know what I mean?
It's like Lombardi. Like, you know, you block better, you tackle better, you're going to win a lot of games, you know?
Yes, you are. Yeah. No doubt.
It's a simple game that is complicated by us and everybody else. You know, it's like I was thinking, like, so many people focus on scheme, but really scheme is players, formations, plays, like, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you could literally win, and it's been proven, like, any offense or defense can win at any level. Like,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's,
are you putting your kids in the right position to succeed? Are you mm-hmm. utilizing, like, your strengths, mm-hmm. you know, to, you know, maybe mask those, you know, your mm-hmm. your weaknesses? And, I mean, players make plays, which we talk about that a lot, you know, and mm-hmm. but are we doing our job to put them in the right spot, you know, like, mm-hmm. defensively, you know, are we aligning correctly? Are we losing based off misalignment? Because at the end mm-hmm. of the day, like, that's definitely a, you know, a coaching issue there, you know, mm-hmm. are there terrible mental mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, you put your playmakers in a position to make plays, and good things will happen.
I just remember, man, I think back to the Morgantown 2017 game pretty often. And
yeah, that was pretty fun.
We let a guy go, like, in the A gap, but Charlie Pearson still took the handoff and still pitched it to Seitz, and then Seitz still made a guy miss and scored. And you're like, oh, that's coaching. No, it's not. Like, those guys made a freaking ball play, dude. Jeez, it's awesome.
That play was so beautiful on TV. It looked all, it worked, but daggone, what a bust.
We messed it up.
Oh my God. I'll like go back and look at that. Like, you know, the kids will like sites and then we'll post it all the time. I'll be like, God, that's ugly.
Yeah.
But it's a win. Like,
it's a win. Take yeah, that. Geez.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, that was a fun day. You remember, like, that's the same day that Sowers got trampled on the sideline. Remember that?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it showed up on video. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was, and we had to ride the cheese wagons there and back because we couldn't get a char bus. That was a good time.
Oh my God. And then cheese dogs were the worst.
Me and Coach Jeffries got like 2 hours of sleep and got up and worked for Coke like Saturday morning.
Oh yeah.
Just straight on adrenaline off that one.
I bet that was the, yeah, exactly. I bet that was the best day of work ever.
Oh,
like, because, you know, on the days you lose, like, I don't know about you, like, I give myself 24 hours, but that 24 hours is miserable for everybody around me. And it's unfortunate. Yeah. Like, I try not to be that way, but daggone, like, it's just like so much reflection, but 24 hours, I'm done with it. Like,
yeah.
But like that, I think I forgot to tell you, Seitz actually got on my staff last year. And it kind of makes me,
he told me that.
I feel a little bit old, but I just thought that's pretty cool how it comes full circle, you know. I think it says a lot when old players, like, come back to coach, because that means, like, somebody along the way, mm-hmm. like, made a difference in his life to where he's wanting to do the same thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a testament to you and, you know, and any coaches that have former players that want to coach. I mean,
yeah,
I think it makes a big difference. That makes a big difference.
No doubt. I think about, too, like, my man Trent Mullins. Remember old T-Bone?
Yeah, T-Bone.
He still texts me and, what's up, coach? And this, that, and the other. And, man, that's the – I think that dude, like, should have paid rent in my house there for about a year. Good gracious. He was over here eating food and sleeping on the couch and stuff. Like, my goodness. Emily's over there laughing. My wife's over there laughing. But it's true. So he brought his girlfriend here one time, I think, for us to, like, kind of, like, check her out. Like, hey, is she okay for me? You know?
Like,
it's wild. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's a great kid. But, coach, talk about, like, for you, like, as a young head coach – like, what's some advice you would give you've given a lot of advice. Like, what's, like, something you wish you knew? Like, you were talking about, hey, you only learn to be a head coach and become a head coach. What's something you wish, like, you knew, like, day one, I wish I knew blank?
The number one thing is you can't save everybody. Like, you can't save every kid. as far as, you know, I got tanked, you know, my first year for that, really sticking my neck out for some kids to really try to make that difference, and ended up, you know, creating a bad culture year one. You know, and year two was a lot different because, you know, you learn, like, not every kid wants saved, you know, not every kid wants, you know, what you want for them. And that's stability, greatness. Like, so I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, focus on the kids that want to be there and that want, you know, to be mentored and want to be better. Because that first year, like, created a huge, just like I said, within the team, like I've been reading this. I don't know if you've read John Gordon's "You Win the Locker Room First."
I've read that
really
one.
Really good book. Okay. Yeah, it's with Mike Smith when he was with Atlanta, and he just talks about, like, you bring one of two things, like, as far as energy to the team, positive or negative. Like, there's nothing, nothing else. Are you bringing positive energy or negative energy? Like, there's no in between. You know, if you're in between, if you're, like, not bringing positive, that's, you know, it's negative. And it spreads, you know, that stuff spreads, you know, everybody hears that, you know, it spreads like cancer, you know, just bad attitudes, negative energy. And that's what happened. And, you know, I think I wish I would have known that, you know, and been aware of that, because it would have saved me a lot of headaches, and especially that first year.
Yeah, I wish you would have been around me in, like, 2015. I feel like I went through that same thing, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to,
it's crazy how it just comes full circle. Like, you know, you probably would have said the same thing, you know, after, you know, a few years, you just learn. Like, and it gets to a point to where, like, you don't even think about some of the things like that, you know, that the decisions you make now, but you're like, man, like, you know, my first year, that would have been a completely different decision. You know, and I'm so grateful for growth and the ability to, you know, just learn from things like that.
I think about that, the book Urban Meyer wrote a couple years ago, Above the Line. There you go.
Above the Line. Yeah.
He has a, like, 10-80-10 principle. There's, like, the top 10%, you know, your guys that are above and beyond, your 80%, like, where most people are. Then that bottom 10%, he's like, man, don't even worry about those guys.
Yep.
And I think as a coach sometimes, especially, like, in, you know, as a public school coach, like, you're thinking about that bottom 10 a lot. I know I do. Like, hey, how do we help these guys? How do we help these guys? And yeah, you want to help people that want to be helped, but at some point they enter the point of no return. You know, like, there's just, hey man, like, you got to either get on board or we're not going to be able to do this. And I need to be better about that. Right. It's kind of like, hey, here's setting the standard and here's what you're going to get to. And if you don't, and you don't, and we just move on.
And my favorite thing about, like, what he said in that was, like, your top 10, like, should bring your 80 percenters up, you know, it's like, and then those 80 percenters should bring that bottom 10 up, and the people that aren't brought up, those are the people you need to, you know, remove. I thought that was huge. Like, if your top 10% isn't bringing somebody along with them, are they really your top 10%? Are they really, like, the leaders of your program if they're not bringing others with them? Like, yeah, there's great leaders that, you know, do the right thing, this and that, but, like, they're not bringing others with them. So, like, that's what I try to encourage our guys to do. Like, bring somebody up with you. And I've actually used that. I love what Urban Meyer said there. I mean, obviously he's had success and has the ability now to coach in the NFL. But, I mean, it's so true. Like, and that goes back to, like, something I really wish I would have focused on more that first year.
Sure. I hear you on that. We haven't talked any X's and O's. So, none. I would love you to touch on – touch on kind of offense philosophy, defense philosophy, and then we'll go from there.
We have another 3 hours, don't we? I mean, it's,
hey man, we'll how long you want to go, man? Well, you know, my wife's like 20 something weeks pregnant. She'll fall asleep here in a couple minutes and I can just keep going. You know what I mean? She's like, she's laughing over there. So I'm good to go, man.
Well, you want to, I've been calling the defense for the past couple of years. So I think I'll start there. Like, I'm a big believer in, like, we already talked about, like, doing what your kids can do best. And, like, I try to be, and I have this, I kind of mirror the same philosophy offensively and defensively of, like, I believe, and I tell the kids this too, so it's, if any of them end up listening, it's not something that they haven't heard. Like, we have different kids. Like, we're not going to have, like, our biggest lineman is like 6'2", 6'1", like 225. So we're not like going to wow people with our size, because we're going up against Spring Valley's mountain men who every year produce 2 and 3 Division I athletes, you know? Right. So, like, I truly believe, like, we can't just go toe to toe with them. Like, we got to do something different. And I think, you know, the past couple of years for us, that was, you know, getting in an odd front. And, you know, I've done a couple different things out of that. And I've always been a big odd guy. Just because I think anytime you can cover up the center, I think it gives him a lot of fits, you know. And I think, again, like, we slanted a lot. Like, we slant for us was our strength, angle was away. Like, we would, you know, try to do things a little different there, especially when we got to, like, our slant 50 stuff. And, like, just always try to, like, keep those guys guessing. And even, like, you know, we would stem to it as well. Because I think any type of movement, like, I'm not going to put my guys in twos and this two gap them. You know what I mean? I'm not even going to two gap my nose. Like, I'm going to give him a direction, and, you know, we're going to try to get penetration and, you know, try to get movement at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, we would get got on a lot of RPO stuff. Like, we would end up playing South Charleston and, you know, not do very well, or Capital and the teams that really had a lot of skill guys. And so we would ended up going to, I'm a big John Haycock fan from Iowa State, and I studied their three high safety structure a ton, and their odd dime stuff, to where like, they would play almost like a 3-1 literally. And like, always bring five from somewhere. And, like, I thought that always gave us a really good advantage. Again, like, it's a broken stack. So, you know, we went to a broken stack when you were there too. Just, like, you can do so many different things out of it. And I think it really benefits smaller teams because, like, again, high school level offensive linemen, if you're sitting in a gap and, like, you're not given any type of, you know, stemming or anything at all, and you're undersized, you're not getting anything done. You know, and that was really good for us. And, like, I'm a big believer in, like, I love Don Brown's philosophy, like, as far as, you know, we're going to solve our problems with aggression. Like, I'm going to bring 5 and 6 guys, you know, I'm going to have 6-man pressures, you know, and I'm gonna play a lot of cover 3 behind it. I'm gonna play a lot of 2-read behind it. I really like kind of like the evolution of quarters coverage, and, you know, playing a lot of, like, sky to the field and cloud to the boundary. I think it gives you huge advantage against RPO teams, especially like, you know, field and boundary strength teams. That's kind of where we went to. I've looked at a couple of different things because, like, our depth up front is very lacking right now. And, you know, even then, like, we would play 4-0-4s with our guys, and we'd even get to a tight front, put them in 4-eyes. Like, it just seemed like, you know, even then we'd get blown off the ball a lot, and you know, just trying to find ways to combat that has been, you know, just a big task. And our kids play really hard. Like, our biggest strength with our kids is they get to the football. Like, they pursue really well. You know, they're going to get knocked down, but they're going to get up and get after it. And and that's why I get a lot of speed on the field. Like, that's why I get a lot of DBs on the field. Because I think, I mean, we got a ton of DBs. So, like, I'm looking at, like, you know, I obviously have my Sam and my Will play a lot out there. Like, you know, Apex and number 2. You know, obviously, like, and then, like, the X factor, that stuff. Have you looked at a lot of, like, the 3-high safety stuff? Like, Baylor's gone to it now. Georgia's gone to it.
I have. You know, it's interesting. In 2011, I was a DC at a school. And we were, of course, this school was so small, we didn't have a home field. It's called Eagles View Academy. And we didn't have a guy on our defense that weighed over 200 pounds. So we were like 3-3 and brought a lot of pressure. But we did some of that 3-high stuff. But we would line all DBs up like 8 yards. And DB meaning outside linebacker. And we would play different coverages out of it.
Yeah.
And that was good.
Like, a lot of people call that different stuff, like, but I call that sticks. Like,
yeah,
for our guys, like I'm going to line up 8 to 12 deep. Like I can literally, I can roll rip Liz. Like I can do anything out of it. And you're asking a 14, 15, 16 year old quarterback to be able to identify the coverage when there's corner, safety, Mohan, what we call them, boundary safety and corner, same depth. So like we creep a lot. Like I'm loving the new age creepers, you know, coaches are talking about. It's always been there, but you know, now you're just, people are finally like really loving it. And it just gives you such an advantage to where like they have no idea where you're coming from. Are they playing two read or are they playing cover three match, you know, match three, which I don't know what's that in cover seven there.
That's a rip. Well, cover seven is quarters for him. And then it's like, I think Rip Liz is 3 and 6. Like six is weak side rotation. Six three is strong side rotation. Yeah.
Yeah, it is six. Anyways, like, and being able to bring your Sam off the edge, you're able to take your 4-eye and knife him in a gap, like just to get movement. Bring your Mike, who is like the way we did it. And I don't like, I don't know how deep you want me to get into this, but like, Iowa State does a ton of like what they call back front and like, you know, it's stop inside zone and we'll put, you know, a 4-eye B gap player to the backside. Well, they put the 5-5 technique away to really help with any type of, you know, counter or power to that side. Cause so many of those teams, like think Texas, think any big to Oklahoma, think about how much times like they're now run, you know, that counter, I mean, the stuff you guys ran a few years ago, just really tough to defend. And they would take that mic, and what it does is if they bring in like 20 personnel or even like 21, if they bring any type of like, you know, another man into the box, like that bumps your Will or Sam in. It's not like, like if there's no number two, like you're getting to a stack look. Like people think, oh, you're playing a 3-1, I'm gonna run all day. Well, yeah, but like personnel matchups, like you bring guys in, I'm bringing guys in too. Like it's not like we're just gonna sit in a 3-1 shell, you know. And and then like, so that nose is taught to lag towards the back as well. So he's that play side A back or that strong side A gap player. And then that Mike literally with the Mohan, he has no pass responsibility. So he sees mesh at all. He finds, he sees a hole, he's going. That's what I like about it. Like you give kids a responsibility and they attack it. You know, you don't like, he's making reads, you know, he's being a ball player, but he's seeing open space, he's going to fill it. And like it really helps teams that get to the football, because like I posted something a couple weeks ago on my Twitter of like these guys just they just get after it. And that's I love watching Iowa State play, because like they get to the football. Like it looks like I'll pause it on mesh and then like see open space, like dag on, it looks like, you know, plus for the offense. They'll be smothered in the backfield, you know, just kids just making good reads, making good fast plays, you know. So that's kind of like my philosophy there. Like I'm not against, like if I had any personnel, I'd be a 4-3 press quarters. Like all day. Narduzzi stuff, like I would do that all day. If I could take away your number one receiver on the edge, like and I'll just bracket your number two receiver all day with my Sam Will and my safeties, then I'd live in it. And I know, like, you were big on man coverage. Like, we played a lot of man coverage against South Charleston and got toasted this year because we were just trying to take away RPOs. Like, so we just have to get over the top. But
I mean, you got to live and die somewhere. You know, like, you were talking about, like, what beats RPOs on paper is playing man-to-man. And, hey, I got to beat you with the vertical shots or, you know, I mean, you can – and they obviously had a really good year. They won the state championship, South Charleston did. But, yeah, I mean, I think like you were talking about press quarters. I remember in 2014 we played that like most of the year. Well, we had two college defensive linemen. And then one guy at corner I think is still playing for the Yankees, like in their minor league system, and the other guy was a college corner. You know, like it all comes down to who your guys are.
Like, who do you – like, you know what I mean? And I was watching, you know, the obviously like the Kyle Pitts dude from Florida this year.
Yeah.
Unreal freak. Like, Dan Mullen was talking about, I guess he had his pro day. Dan Mullen was talking about him and was like, they were like, oh, is he a receiver? Is he a tight end? And he was like, well, he's a unicorn. And he said, the good part about that is, you know, in order to defend him, the other team has to have a unicorn as well.
Yeah,
that's so true. You know, like we would, like we got toasted on slant RPO that Hollard was coming every time. You know, it's just like, well, like I guess we'll get hands on and, you know, a little bit better and try to take away the inside. Well, take away the inside. You know, we give up the seam. Oh, okay, well, it's just about like putting those kids in, like, of course, like after those kind of games, you're like, well, maybe I should have gone to this.
Right.
You know, maybe I should have gone to that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's matchups. You got to win matchups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Football is a game of really winning one-on-one matchups over the field. I mean, your scheme is obviously important. Like you want to, like you said, be sound, have guys in a good spot. But it comes down to you got to cover that guy, you got to block that guy, you got to tackle that guy, you got to catch the ball when you're open. I mean, I saw the catch that guy made against you. Like,
oh,
I mean, goodness gracious, what are you supposed to do with that? Like, that was just freaking awesome. Yeah. Like, golly.
I don't know. That was,
you know,
like, I don't think I've mentioned this, but we played 16 freshmen and sophomores last year, like, started 16.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah, and both of our corners were sophomores. And, yeah, I mean, that really, I mean, he had played a lot as a freshman too, that corner, and just a smaller dude. The most physical kid we got, smallest kid we got, most physical kid we got, best tackler we got. Like, just unfortunate. Like, that dude made a really good play. You were in position. And that's the thing. Like,
great
our kids
position.
Are in position.
Yeah. Great
like,
position.
Our kids are in great position. Like, it's just about, hey, the one thing you could have done better was, hey, you could have broke his hands. You know, like you could have, you know, played the ball a little bit better and, you know, when he was coming down with it. Like something just to, you know, teach the kids that, like, the physical traits aren't there yet because they're so young. Like, give them tools of what they can do to help combat that until, like, you know, they're able to, one, grow. But then they're also going to still have that tool when they do grow. So I think it's just about, like, adaptation. Like, that's the most important aspect of coaching is being able to adapt. Like, you've got to adapt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, whether it's your own team or if it's against the other team, it's like the biggest thing.
Yeah, shoot, we got to a point this past season. I think we had five healthy skill players, like, in the entire roster that we felt like we could put in the game. So we had to go like 21 personnel, like try to, you know, get that stuff. Cause like we didn't, like, hey, we just ran out of them.
I like
you
me
know?
Some 21 personnel though. I like me some 21.
Oh, yeah. We, coach, at one point this past season, we played a JV right tackle at free safety and a Sam linebacker at corner. That was a good time.
Injuries?
That was,
or just like a.
Injuries, coach. We lost 14 starters to transfer, didn't play because of COVID, or they were injured. I mean, that's insane. Like, I've never seen something like that before in my life. But, you know, that's water under the bridge now. But so, coach, talk about your, like, offensive philosophy that kind of meshes with that. How do you mesh those two together?
So, I'm big on, like, triple option. I grew up in a military family. And, most of my, like, traits that I possess was because, like, my dad being in the military and – he was gone a lot because I grew up like right in the heart of like right after 9/11. I was, you know, second, third grade. So dad was gone a lot. And that actually is what ended up like kind of leading to, you know, like me not being where I needed to be when I got to high school, just not in a good space. But like I'm big on like that selflessness, playing for each other. So I've studied service academies a lot, and like in my opinion, like they do what they do and they compete and they don't get 4 and 5 star recruits because you know, obviously just the situation, you're literally, you know, signing your life away, you know, and how many of them have really gone on to, you know, be like first or second round draft pick to be able to kind of dismiss that. I mean, you're literally, it's a selfless, you know, act, you know, just going into that. And that's kind of how I see like our situation, our kids, as far as undersized, you know, every year we're not bringing in Division I athletes. And so like we hang our hat on selflessness, playing for each other, running the triple option and making teams having to defend all three levels, you know? And I think anytime you get a high school kind of like the same way, that's, this is where they mesh. Like you're asking that high school defensive end to be a quarterback player, but see, you know, the ride and decide method through, you know, the belly of the running back and not crash, you know. It's tough.
Yeah, it's good.
It's tough, especially for really aggressive defensive ends. And then, you know, at the same time, like, okay, he defended first level. Now you're asking, you know, this linebacker, this outside backer to defend quarterback. And if he's defending that well, okay, did the safety do what he was supposed to do? And does he have pitch?
Right. Right.
So, you know, all three levels have to be accounted for. And if one of them isn't, we have an answer for it. And one thing that, like, I've really grown into, and I've had a lot of really good people, just like, obviously, all coaches steal, you know, what they like from everybody.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
There's, like, some saying where, like, you know, we all drink from wells we didn't, you know, we didn't build or whatever, we didn't dig. And you have to, like, so we, I got on the horn because I didn't like how I was structuring practice. I didn't feel like it was intentional. Like, I felt like, you know, we weren't covering exactly what we should be covering in order to be really fluid with what we do. Because you got to hang your hat on. Like, if you're going to run the triple option, like, you're running the triple option or you're not going to be very good at it. Right. So, like, I got a hold of this place. Have you heard of UConn, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
They're, like, they're 5A in Oklahoma, big school, and they run the triple. And so all their coaches are from a place called Harding University. You ever heard of Harding?
Yeah, I mean, we've, I remember, like, you telling me about them, yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, these guys have innovated the triple option football game like no other. Like, this dude is like, even the service academies are all going there now, like, seeing how they structure everything they do. And it's, like, little minute details that, like, are very easily overlooked as far as your motion timing, you know, like – pitch relationship, your tags that fix things. So, you know, we're going to have our big six and have, that's it, and have tags that fix them. So like our big six, inside veer, mid triple, mid double, zone dive, rocket toss, and belly, like that's all we need. So like if I know we have a perimeter like on the edge and I want an automatic pitch, like I'm gonna call a wall tag for my tackle to outside release, you know, and you know, it's called, and it puts kind of the game, like, in the really in the coach's hands to where it takes pressure off the players, because you're able to, like, obviously that we're asking them to read about every play, especially the quarterback has to make good reads. And, you know, we came into a lot of times we were handcuffed this past year, you know, with just different stuff. And it really focuses on, like, the offensive line is what's a lot different. Like, you'll have a very, like, an offensive line guy that has coached a long time, but's never coached in a triple option offense. And they come to our practice and, you know, think, what the hell is going on here? Like, you know, wanting 70% of your weight coming forward. You're putting your center in a 4-point stance. You know, your hip is higher than your head. Like, but we really focused, like, we needed 6 inches of movement. Like, if that meant, like, you're punching somebody in the nuts to get 6 inches of movement.
So yeah, get them out of there.
Like, it's a trench. Yeah. Yeah. And like, those guys had to be tough, but they're undersized, and it focused a lot on double teams and, you know, just stay in your course. I think that's, like, that's the biggest thing is, hey, run your alley. Like, if that dude is, like, wanting to, like, if you have a 2-eye and he's wanting to go opposite B gap and we have, you know, scoop backside, leave him. He can't make the play.
Yeah.
It's so quick.
Right.
You know, like, and that's, like, the kids have – they're – like, I told them probably more times than ever, like, you'd be better if you were, like, blind. or if I,
yes,
like, you know, because they got their eyes so messed
yep.
up
yep.
that, like, just run your alley. Like, if nothing else, you're going to create a seam for the running back to go through. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm just a big believer in, like, that selfless play. It doesn't matter who's touching the ball. Like, mm-hmm. give me 3 yards of carry, you know, 3 yards every time, just a grind. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for it every fourth down, like fourth and two, I'm going for it.
Sure.
Fourth and three, I'm probably going for it, you know.
Sure.
You've got to get it. Like, there's no other way around it. Like, if we don't get it, mm-hmm. we deserve to lose. If we can't get a yard, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like
– Coach,
and that goes back to – I'm just trying to build that toughness and that military mm-hmm. style. Like, let's go mm-hmm. out and get it.
Oh, I hear you, man. We've rushed for almost 6 yards of carry the past couple of years. We were like a lot of gap scheme, you know, block down, kick, some misdirection. Man, our thing that killed us, man, I got to really work on how to like work on this as a coach. We had 18 drops or wide open misses this past year in a 6-game season. So, I mean, like that stuff that like, you know, I got to go back to like to some air raid roots. That was like 2011. Like, hey, man, we just need to catch more balls. You know what I mean? Like, because we're in a situation where we had like one quarterback, really. So, like, how do you get more guys catching balls? Like, if you only got one guy throwing a lot, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, how do you like find a way to do that?
Well, I think like the first thing you said, or misses, like drops or miss, like drops to me is repetition. Like, drops,
yeah, you've
gotta
do it.
You have got to continue to just rep it. But like the misses, like we gotta do the same thing. Like timing, like quarterback mm-hmm. timing. You mm-hmm. know, like we're wanting to take, you know, you can't take a 3-step drop, pat, and then, you know, that window's closed.
Right.
And now option two is closed, you know, and now you gotta scramble. And, you know, that's, you know, I think a lot of people struggle in that area. But again, I mean, that goes back to reps too. But like, we got to do a better job of like finding places in our practice script to rep it. Because I mean, we threw for an average probably 4 or 5 times a game.
Right,
like,
sure.
We didn't throw very much. But that's an area, like, you know, I think we got a really good young quarterback who's really progressing. Like, I think mm-hmm. we can do different stuff. And sure. I think that we can give ourselves a chance to win, you know, and adapt. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is my philosophy. This is what I truly believe in. But we mm-hmm. got to find ways to be better. Like, mm-hmm. We didn't show it. We didn't put it out there. So, like, yeah, like, we're mm-hmm. going to take everything of the philosophy that I have, and mm-hmm. we're going to kind of mold it together and fit our kids. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely. We have really good skill guys, really good skill guys. So, like, now – we're looking at, you know, going to where, okay, now we're going to take the pressure off of our offensive line getting movement, and now we're going to put it into the hands of our mm-hmm. skill guys to find those holes, you know, more mm-hmm. of a zone style. Like, you know, we had mm-hmm. some success with zone dive last year. So we're now able to kind of get to more of like, you know, an inside zone triple option to where, like, you know, when you peel back the layers, what it's doing for us is instead mm-hmm. of like, everybody step and play side, it's the opposite. So like literally we're running the same offense. We're just changing our read to the opposite side,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that's going to do wonders for us because now we're not one dimensional. We're able to, you know, now be mm-hmm. a little, you know, two dimensional mm-hmm. and hopefully like 3-dimensional with our passing game and,
no doubt.
You know, and still have that triple option, you know, element mm-hmm. to it. So I'm excited to do that. And obviously it's different for me. But at the same time, like, I had to swallow my pride on that and just say, hey, like, we got to find ways to get our kids in a position to succeed.
And you got a coach there that ran that zone read to perfection, Mr. Seitz. My man could read that sucker. Goodness, he was good at that, man. Golly.
Yeah, he was a good fullback at quarterback, wasn't he?
He was about as round as he is tall. I hope he's listening to this so we can hear me say that.
But I do too.
It's about true.
That's kind of why. You know, he done a really good job for us. And, you know, like being the young coach, like I never like whatever. He, you know, it was just so fun to have him there. It was just, it was so funny. Like him and Sowers, you know, like they kind of like, you know, they kind of butted heads whenever like Mark played there. Remember that? Like, so imagine now, like,
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to view Mark as older now. He's still, like, in high school to us. So it's just really fun. It's like having – it's hard to explain, but it's really fun.
Has Sowers told you where all his gold is that he's stashed somewhere? Because that's where he's the richest man on earth.
I haven't figured it out yet. I swear he is. I swear. He saves money.
Yeah.
He was upset because McDonald's charged him like $1.07 instead of $1.06.
Oh, my gosh. He's the guy, if you go to Mexican, is going to get water and chips. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't going to order nothing else. And hopes
somebody gets cheese dip. He hopes, yeah, like, somebody with him orders cheese. Because he'll just suffer if nobody orders it.
That's it. He's something.
He's a fun. He's a great dude, but he's funny.
Daggone. I get the most random texts from that dude.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
And I don't want to talk too much on it because, like, hardly anybody listening to this really knows him. So it's
right. Yeah, sure.
Unless you know him, it's not like, it's just real funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. I used to always tell him he's a mafia boss, man. He's just, but I mean, everybody has that coach. Just like, he's funny to you. Like, he makes you laugh. He gets you, smile, all that kind of stuff. That's awesome.
He's a great dude.
Coach, thank you for coming on. This has been awesome. You're a very wise man. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us and just having a good, really good conversation.
I hope we can do it again. I mean, like I said, there's so many, like, I even have some things, like, so many things we can talk about. We'd be here all night, So I definitely appreciate it and like to do it again. I know you have a lot of people that, want to come on and you want to get on, but I appreciate you allowing me to, because I like talking about our kids. I like talking about our program. And anytime I can do that, then I like doing it.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, we will definitely do it again. I love having guys on a couple times. I'm trying to get a couple guys on for a third time. So we'll do it for sure.
Hey, yeah, man. Just let me know and we'll make it happen.
We'll do, Coach. I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, man. Have a good one.